go ahead and call this special call meeting of the Tazewell County Board of Supervisors to order. It's 3:04. We have several folks, board members included, that are participating by phone. Chase, do you need any form of a phone roll call for the board members to establish your record?
I would request that any Board of Supervisors member who is participating by phone please identify themselves for the public record.
If I could have the Board of Supervisor members identify themselves. Mr. Hines?
I'm here.
Mr. Hackworth?
Here.
Mr. Lester?
Here.
Ms. Asbury?
Here.
Okay. The chair is here in person today, so we have all of the board members present. You guys want to open this one up with a prayer and pledge as well?
Yeah.
Tom Lester, you want to lead us in prayer?
Let us pray, dear Lord. We ask that you watch over us, guide us, give us wisdom.
Jim Tabbitt.
May we open up our hearts and do what is right for the president of Tazewell County. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you all for joining us, especially those of you that are joining by phone.
Mr. Chairman, if we may, before we take up any business, I would like the board to make the findings that the governor of Virginia has declared a state of emergency in accordance with section 44-146.17 of the Code of Virginia. Further finding that, as determined by the Attorney General of Virginia on March the 20th, 2020, and as entered by executive order of the governor of Virginia on March 23rd, 2020, the nature of the declared emergency makes it impracticable and or unsafe to assemble a quorum in a single location. And a third finding that the Tazewell County Board of Supervisors members will discuss the three items on the notice of emergency meeting, which solely and exclusively pertain to COVID-19.
Okay. Would one of the board members put that in the form of a motion, please? Motion by Mr. Himes, second by Mr. Lester. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. All right, Mr. Young, I believe we've done everything we needed to do to turn the floor over to you as we open up the meeting.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Don't get closer to the mic, I can't hear
him. Yeah, here, come on in.
I'm trying to stay 6 feet away from Charlie.
I'll move so he can have the...
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, we called this meeting rather hurriedly in response to the governor's executive order issued on the 23rd. And it was pertaining to his decision to discourage public gatherings more so than he has already and to close non-essential businesses. In response to that, there are a few things that I'd like to do. One is we're going to close the administration building to in-person visitors, other than, of course, county personnel. With that, we'll do a press release with the phone number. We'll post a phone number on the door. Most people have cell phones. If they have a form they need to turn in or something like that that they need to pick up, we'll let them in. But most of what the public comes to talk about can be handled over the phone, or at least in the short term. And I will continue that until the 12th of April, or the 13th, I'm sorry, of April. Secondly, I would close the, we talked about the parks yesterday, and I think Mr. White investigated a little bit. The state's not closing their parks in the sense that they're putting up gates and people can't get in. What they're doing is they're closing their facilities in their parks. So if you want to do a cabin rental, if you want to go to a snack bar, or if you want to buy a souvenir, that's closed. I'm sorry, what was that, Dave?
That sounds reasonable to me.
Or shoot basketball. Dave's making a basketball shooting gesture back here in the crowd.
Or just
or just walk, you can do that.
Right, you can do that, but basically the state is closing their facilities. So in response to that, what I would do is close our office at the park, not have cabin rentals, boat rentals, kayak rentals, bait sales, and picnic shelter rentals until the 13th. I would also do that at the Miners Park as well.
Mr. Young, may I make a recommendation that that be done through April 21st, which is the date of the next board meeting?
Well, I mean, we'll do it until the 13th, and if need be after that, we'll do it. We'll do it the 21st, and we can always lift that. That's fine.
So we're doing the 13th or the 21st?
We'll do the 21st.
Okay. That doesn't require any kind of motion or anything from this board. It's just...
Well, no, sir. We had the declaration of emergency last Friday, which I believe authorizes me to do that. The board had, when I notified the board yesterday, the board expressed an interest in discussing it this afternoon, and that's why we called this meeting.
We'll give them an opportunity to discuss it before that. Does anybody have any discussion? Let's start with board members. Do any board members have any discussion on what's been...
Well, Eric's got the authority to do that, but I just wanted to make sure we're all in the loop on it, because the communications are important in that we're not closing the park, we're just closing the facilities consistent with what's being done in the state.
Correct. If you still want to go hike at the park, fish, you can still do those things. It's just that we're not going to have any thing there would encourage you to gather in a group or violate your social distance.
Right.
Okay. Any other board member have any other question about the park closure issues? Do we have any questions from the media or any press that are on the call? Do we have any questions from any citizens on the call?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
We don't need a motion.
No motions needed.
Confirm what Eric's done.
As the same same as well be the reduced hours or the not allowing the public to come to the admin building unless they call.
Right.
Another thing that we're looking at is we're doing some shift splitting. We've had some conversations with VDM and others that suggest that we try to shuffle our people apart as much as we can, not just physically the distance while they're working, but if we can get some people to split the work up and work it in different shifts, we're going to do that. I don't really need any board action on that. I just want to let you know that that's going on. If an employee complains and says that they've been offered different hours or they've been told to go home on Monday or Wednesday, then that's why. The basic reason for that is we don't want one sick employee to get an entire shift of employees ill if we can help it. We're going to find something productive for them to do. It may not be what they're used to doing.
Well, that's what most of the industry I'm involved with is doing. There's changing, splitting short starting times to reduce exposure.
The other issue I guess we need to take up is the issue with the Sarah Trails, the Spearhead Trails. We've been getting a lot of people in Pocahontas, I think, and maybe even some in Bluefield are concerned that by having those trails continue to be open, that we're inviting people from outside the area to come. I frankly believe that this bug's here, it's gonna get here. I don't know that we're gonna stop it entirely. I don't know that we can put up stockades at the county boundary. But the idea behind what the president's doing, what the governor's doing, is to slow that process. And they've also discouraged unnecessary public travel. And if we continue to keep those open, we're going to encourage people to disobey, or perhaps disobey is the wrong word, to ignore or flaunt the governor's request. So here, the issue with that is that the trail actually belongs to Spearhead. They own the trail. But to the extent that the trailheads are located within the county, it's within our jurisdiction to order them closed, if that's what we want to do. I would really like some board consultation on. I think that's something we probably need to do, but there's some businesses over there that we're really going to hurt if we do that. And they are tied, you know, 100% to those trails.
I think we're going to need sales revenue, tax revenue for that tourism.
I think that's similar to the state park question that the governor was posed, and he's not closed the state park, which people come to from out of state. He's not closed the rest stops. I have a concern. If anybody wants to close it, I think it's Spearhead's to close.
As you know, I had a conversation with Sean Lindsay, the director of Spearhead, yesterday by email. And when I questioned him on this, his response was that no, it did not affect us at this time.
I don't think it affects them, and it's not mandated. You leave them open. If people want to come, they can come.
Well, my
West Virginia closed the Hatfield-McCoy trails, didn't they?
I believe that they did.
Yes.
Would we be in a situation where all of a sudden people that were coming here originally for the Hatfield-McCoys get the door slammed on them and decide, well, while I'm here, I'm just going to come down? I mean, the disruption is going to be significant. The sooner we can shut this stuff down and avoid the spread, to me, the sooner it's likely to either come to a conclusion or not peak as such a degree that it could. Somebody at some point in time has to say, stop the spread. And if it's not being done at the governor's level, are we prepared to accept that, okay, that's just going to be the way that it is, and we will allow, you know, this county to remain wide open for anybody that's coming in? And that's a policy decision that this board needs to make.
Mr. Chairman, the concern that I would have is that the first decree from the governor in that executive order was that all gatherings of 10 or more persons are prohibited. All gatherings of 10 or more. That applies to churches, that applies to everybody.
10 or more?
And I think that I would advise this board that it applies to the Southwest Regional Recreation Authority, as they are a body politic and corporate. And their allowance of people on those trails, they're selling permits, that is a corporate function. That is not a governmental function. And I would advise that that applies to them. And I would express my concern of having, you know, 30 people in the parking lot down at the trailhead and putting Mr. Hyatt and putting Major Eatley in a complex situation.
Well, I guess to cut to the chase, the question for the board is there an appetite amongst the board to promote the closure of the trail system in Tazewell County?
It's not our system, and that's why I do think I would like to talk to the board about that. If it was our system, I'd probably close it, because it's a little bit different than a hiking trail or something like that. I mean, I know people like state parks, but I don't think they're going to drive from Charlotte up here to walk around the lake. But they will come up here to ride the ATVs.
What's the difference in closing the Spearhead Trail and saying to the folks that are coming to the back of the Dragon, you can't come here? I think the 10 people thing is a sheriff's department issue. He's charged with policing the 10 people.
Yes.
And the governor.
I wonder really how much trouble you're going to have with 30 people gathering at a trailhead. And if they do, they're outside. And I think they wouldn't be, you know, going. I mean, I think they'd have a sense and maybe put signs up. I don't know. that says, you know, social distancing. I mean, you're going to have two people in a side-to-side, maybe four, if they are it's a double.
And that's no different than riding four in a car.
Correct.
Well, my issue is you police that, and what the governor said, well, if there were more than 10 people in a place and the sheriff's deputy were there, he would ask them gently to break up. Okay?
I wonder how much problem you're going to have with this. I mean, at this point, do you see an increased traffic over there, Maggie?
It was the mayor told me that yesterday there was quite a bit of traffic in the town of Pocahontas, and thought maybe some of those were coming from that Pocahontas ATV right at the top where you go to Bramble. A lot of those were, you know, coming from there. I haven't spoken with him today about that.
Has anybody said, I thought the outdoor activities, as long as you maintain social distances, they was encouraged.
That was what I thought.
I think if you're not within 6 foot of somebody, that's it's pretty safe to be. Is that what everybody thought, or am I missing? Did I hear something wrong?
That's the way I read it.
And I think that's the way that Spearhead took it from a conversation I had with them over the weekend, that actually it was better to be outdoors. I can't remember his exact words. I'm looking for it, but that was kind of like the feeling at that time. And then yesterday, of course, he just reaffirmed it did not affect Spearhead Trails. I will say that a lot of times the same people that complain about the riders complain about everything else. Not all of them, but some.
Well, my only thought is you have areas of the country increasingly closer where their local government says, stay at home, you can't go anywhere. And then they think, well, I'll just load up my four-wheeler and I'll take it to Tazewell County. Well, the whole point of their locality telling them to stay at home is that they don't spread a disease they may already have and not know it. And then they're going to load up, and they're going to stop at gas stations, and they're going to go through drive-thrus at restaurants here in our county. I think that's the concern, and I think it is different than the back of the dragon, because that's a state route. There's not a whole lot we can do about that. We're not pushing it. You know, we've stopped advertising. I don't know if Mr. Schott has or not, but I do think it's somewhat different.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, this was shared with me on Friday, said from Spearhead, so far the governor has not closed down any trails, just state parks and U.S. forests is leaving trails open, just closing the restrooms. The businesses have closed public areas for the most part. Our board felt the trails are the safest place with lots of open air and rarely running into big crowds. No risk really when two ATVs pass on the trail with riders wearing helmets. Today, our Leo reported that very few people on the trails, other than a couple of people from, out of town. None of my board had expressed wanting to close unless the governor or Trump orders it, mainly because our locals need a safe place away from the crowds to go. If we do close, we don't have gates or most trails, so our rangers would have to police and try to keep people off of it. Just not a good situation either way, but at least it's easy to practice social distancing. Most of our risks are at lodges and restaurants where you could have close contact. Many of these establishments are closing down and riders are canceling reservations, so even fewer on the trail. We are asking riders to practice social distancing. Things could change in the next week or so, but beyond our control, we continue to watch the forests and other trails doing in Virginia. But most sites encourage people to stay away from buildings and big crowds and stay at home or get out in nature to help cabin fever. That was the response on Friday.
I think that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I personally do, too.
Okay, that's fine. I just there was some concerns about it in the email change that I was seeing by the board, so I thought we would discuss it. I think we need to watch it. If we start getting a huge amount of traffic, one thing that concerns me overall in this is there could very easily be a flight to the country from people in these cities. I mean, you can be on lockdown for just so long, and then you will load up. You will load up and go somewhere, and that concerns me. At least for another week or two, but okay. So we'll just leave the trails as they are. We'll leave the trails as they are and not worry about it. But I think these other changes are probably wise internally on our part. I do have something I had prepared to give out today, but I'll give one to Mr. Stacy. I think I emailed to you frequently asked questions regarding Executive Order 53, and anybody's here in the audience and wants one can have one. Did you all get those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And this addresses a lot of the questions that you all might be asked by the public. And I sincerely ask you to, if people ask you questions, to refer them to the VDH website as to what they should do or not do. And FEMA.gov/coronavirus, somewhere there, because if I gave you information right now, it's probably old from when I heard it at 1 o'clock. And I'm really afraid that if you all give them some information, then they're going to say, well, that wasn't right. They lied to me. When in reality, it was the best we knew at the time and may have changed. So if we just keep referring those websites to go look at that, then they're going to get what's the most updated.
Anything else? Any other board members? Any COVID-19 questions, concerns?
Those are our three items that we had on the agenda, right? We covered them.
I think we have the ability to talk if you have any questions or concerns that are COVID-19 related. On a housekeeping
Eric,
note, mainly
Eric,
just go ahead, Mike.
Eric, there's this new regulation for employees, the family, whatever it is.
FMLA?
Name of it. It's FMLA, but there's an additional thing about people taking time off to take care of their kids and all kinds of different things. That, I assume, impacts our employees. I'm not sure how it impacts them yet, but you need to ask, who's our folks, VACO, how that impacts our benefit package.
Are you talking about in the new bill that's coming out of Washington, or a new Labor Department?
It's a new bill that came out of Washington. Just a minute, I'll tell you what it is. As soon as I can find it here, my phone is and computer are slow today. I hope they don't have the virus. Hold on. It's called Family First Act. I can send you some information that I have on it. It was passed by Congress about a week ago. Family First Coronavirus Response Act. So it impacts a lot of your benefits, and I will send that to you right now.
Well, I knew those changes were coming, and I think one of the things was defining the coronavirus as a serious health care concern, because that puts you in a different category in your FMLA. But we had received...
The summary is that it gives you circumstances related to COVID-19 employees be eligible for up to 2 weeks of sick leave, full pay, and two-thirds pay for family care, illness, quarantine, or school closings. And the school closings are relating to taking care of your kids, up to 12 weeks of family medical leave for school closing, 10 days unpaid, and then up to 10 weeks at two-thirds of pay. So, you know, this is a pretty big budget item also for us, and it goes into all the details of what it covers.
Okay. Yeah, our budget is going to be a grim picture with all this that's going on, I'm afraid, but that's off the notice.
Yeah, that's off the notice.
Well, I think the one other thing that I want to kind of go over, just a housekeeping thing kind of with the board members specifically, and we talked a little bit about this on Friday, you know, we are obviously, people in the community look to us for information regarding the coronavirus and what's happening with the government, what we're doing, what the most recent up-to-date information is. We want to be responsive to that, so we look to our county staff to provide us with that information, and that information is trickling down from both state and federal agencies to try and help us do that. So we have to be mindful that, you know, our staff is working through this just like we are to push that information out to us as quick as they get it. When we have a specific inquiry or a request or a concern, either as a board member or from one of our constituents, we want to continue to push that information to our staff, and we will ask them when one of us has a question. The answer is probably a good answer for all of us to receive so that they're putting out the information as much as possible. Another thing we need to be very cautious of as board members, we are by nature, we want to help in this crisis. We want to believe that we have the ability, the influence to help, you know, our communities in this situation, but we have to be very careful and refrain from, as board members, putting things into motion, asks, requests of the communities or agencies. You know, we have to be very cautious. If we are making requests, we want to make sure that we're not asking something that to be done that our staff has not asked us to have done. We want to coordinate all requests for action to come out of our county administrator. What happens is if I make a request of the school board, if I make a request of Dave White, if I make a request of someone else, then that person, just by the nature of my position on the board, feels like they have to respond to my request. What it does is it creates a duplication. I may be asking them to do something that Mr. Young or Mr. White has already asked to be done, and it creates a confusion as to where their responses need to go. So if, as board members, I'm asking you, if we have things we want done, let's channel those requests through Eric, our usual channel, and not ask other agencies or individuals or community members to take certain actions and do certain things until we had run that through our filter of our county staff and had our county staff tell us, yes, please ask the community to do this. I've told Eric that the five of us are available for he and Dave in any way, shape, or form that we can assist them if they need work done that they may not be able to do while they're focusing on this crisis. All of us would make ourselves available in any way, shape, or form. That may not be the sexy front lines phone calls with the White House, but we may be helping get calls off Eric's back or respond to other agency requests or our own department requests that these guys are just simply not able to handle right now. So if you could please refrain from putting any action in motion until we have confirmed with our staff that they want that action or that it has not already been done, that would be very helpful for our staff. Anybody have any other concerns, questions, COVID-19 related? Board members? Media? Anybody on the call?
Yes, I do.
Who?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, could you identify? I can't tell who it is.
Oh, it's Charlie Booth, Telegraph.
Hey, Charlie.
I signed on late. Yeah, I signed on late and did not want to interrupt the county administrator. So he was talking about, about the Spearhead Trail. Do you know, it runs through other counties, right? It's not closed anywhere else, is it?
No, I'm not aware that the Spearhead Trail is closed in any other counties.
Not that I'm aware of, Charlie.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. And how about any restaurants? Do you know that the restaurant that would serve the customers who came there would still be open?
They have carry out.
Okay, they still have carry out, okay.
Yes.
Charlie, just to be clear, was the governor's order directed all restaurants and eateries are only doing a takeout curbside service, correct?
Correct.
So there's no in-house dining anywhere in the Commonwealth.
Well, right. Initially, he said there could be in-house dining limited to 10 people, but I think he changed that.
He did. This is Eric Young, Mr. Booth. He ratcheted that down initially. It was limited to 10 people, and then I think about 3 days went by, and they decided to go ahead and close the dining rooms of restaurants, but they still can do delivery and curbside.
Okay. Right. Trust me. Yeah, trust me, he did.
Mr. Booth and Warren, any media folks that we have on the line, I believe what would be an ask from our staff, and I probably should run it through him before we ask, is we are trying to push out publicly with radio ads. The Commonwealth of Virginia has not gone on a lockdown, so to speak, or a shelter in place, but that is truly the best recommendation all of the healthcare professionals are giving us, is that if you have the ability to stay in your home, the longer you can do that, the more effective we will be combating the spread. We cannot or have not made you do that yet, but we definitely would implore the media to encourage in your writings. If you can shelter in place, do it. If you've got to go to the grocery store, then it's time to do that. But if you don't have to be out, we're trying our best to comply with the request as best we can. Eric, would you modify that anyway?
Well, I think, just like we talked about with the parks, though, I think, if people can get outside, we have a big county, and, I have an uncle with a 100-acre farm. I can go over there and walk all day long, and he'll never know it. But, it is important for people to still get outside. They just need to keep their distance from other people as best they can. That's the only way we're going to delay the spread of this virus, is for people to distance themselves from one another as much as they can. So in a sense, no unnecessary travel, but it's not like the roads are dangerous or anything. We just go outdoors if you can, walk in your yard, play with your dog, whatever, but try to avoid gathering in groups if you can. And I would like to say that I don't go to church as much as I should. I belong to church. I try to go, but different people have a lot of feelings on this, but if you can worship and celebrate your faith in a way that avoids a gathering of 10 or more people, I really encourage you to do so. If you are going to do that, and you are going to still have church, I'd ask you not to sing. I never sing, but I ask you not to sing, mainly because the Virginia Department of Health said that is the same as coughing. So if you have a room full of people singing, you are spraying whatever virus one of them may have around the whole room. I know that there's a lot of reasons that people want to go to church, a lot of faith to go to church, and times like this, I personally feel moved to keep in closer contact with God, but we really need to keep the spread of this down for the next couple of weeks.
When that frequently asked question, and then I was on a phone call last night with over 2,500 faith-based either ministers or priests from all different types of faiths with the governor's office and their staff, and he said that it was a restriction. It's not a recommendation at this point. Churches, any social gatherings, he specifically mentioned funerals, weddings, any social gatherings cannot exceed 10. And the question was even asked, does that include the pastor and the musicians, whatever, and the attorney for the governor said 10 total. That's not you can't exclude like you can in some non-essential businesses. They said patrons, but they said that did not include social gatherings such as church, funerals, and weddings. It was 10 total, and that it was banned.
Okay. Any other business? Anything else we need to take up?
One thing I would like to discuss is, rather than having to jump and have these calls when staff has to hurriedly throw it together, can we maybe do a regular either Monday or Friday or pick a day phone conference that I can update the board on what's going on? I try really hard to forward to you all the notices I'm getting from CDC and FEMA and Homeland Security and the White House and the governor's office, and it's all the same thing, but you get it from 15 different sources. I try to keep sending that to the board, but I think it would be good, rather than do that, to just sit down once a week and say, here's what the situation is, and hopefully within 2 or 3 weeks that won't be necessary. But it sure would be easier on us than to, oh, the governor said something, so now we got to hurry and put a meeting together. That would be nice.
Pick a date, let's do it.
Dave White suggesting after 1 o'clock on Mondays.
Yeah, we have our VDEM conference at what, 10 on Mondays? 10:30 on Mondays, so that would be a good idea. We could give you some pretty fresh information from the state at that point.
Okay. So you thinking 1 o'clock?
If that works.
Is the governor doing daily press conferences at 2?
He doesn't have 2 o'clock, but he's doing every other
Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock on Mondays is fine if that works for staff, whatever's best for you.
That works. And one thing I would like to say is there's a lot of information that's put out for public consumption, and that's fine, but there's a lot of to-dos that we get from the state that really aren't very exciting, aren't very sexy, or whatever, however you want to say it, that we sort of churn through. And so... our staff's not sitting here watching what the governor says with bated breath. We're doing what VDM or the VDH tells us to do, and we're letting the governor worry about the people. So just because the governor speaks, don't quiz us on it right away, is what I'm trying to say.
Mr. Chairman, would you anticipate that this would be an electronic meeting according to this? Again, understanding that the subject and scope of the meeting would be limited accordingly.
I think it supports the public health request of limiting the gatherings to 10. By the time you put all of us together, you're exceeding that.
I think perhaps we should notice it like a special call meeting, but in the notice say that attendance in person will be limited.
Leave it at work.
And that here's the phone number. Whitney, I mean, what's the capacity on this conference call line? How many people can we have on the line?
I need to check into that. I think quite a few.
Okay, check into that. Mm-hmm. And what we may do to the media is, if you want to attend by conference call, we'll ask you to call in a little early. So if we do allow the public to call the conference call line, we'll know that the media can get on and be on the line, because if we have you know, 25 people that can call, I don't want, you know, Mr. Stacy to be the one that just happens to call after other 25 people have already called, and then he can't get on. So, what we may do is we may tell you, you know, 12:55 to call in and tell the public 1:05 or something like that, just so we make sure that our board members and the media can get a line and be on the conference call. Of course, you're welcome to come in person, but I wouldn't want one of the board members to be the eighth person in the room or ninth person in the room. But we'll work on that, so we'll try to have that for 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock next Monday, the 30th.
Monday, and Whitney, if the line has a capacity of more than, say, 10, we'll put the number on there.
Yes.
And with a statement that says, you know, attendance in person is limited to, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, this is a huge room. It's hard to think you can limit 10 people in the room. But I do think we ought to respect the advice that we're giving out.
Yeah.
So assuming there are five of us, me, Chase, and Whitney, that's eight, Dave and Barry, that's pretty much our 10 in the room. So
the question I have, do you want a special meeting where there's a quorum assembled, or do you want it by electronic means? Because in terms of my preparation for it, it's a little bit different under FOIA.
I would think we just
want it. If we could somehow, as you were talking, Eric, this is Maggie, kind of, if we could work it to where we could stay with the 10, I don't know about the other people, but it's very hard communication for me. I don't know if it's Abbott Valley or what, but to be able to hear everything being said.
That's because Chase is not sitting close enough to the mic.
Chase could open the window and she could hear me next.
We can all hear.
Mr. Chairman, that was my question, was do you wish it to be a special call, non-electronic meeting, which I would prefer, and I think FOIA prefers, or would you prefer it to be a meeting like we had today that's purely by electronic communication?
I think it's best to encourage it by electronic communication, and that way we're not committed that every Monday we're going to be actually conducting business and voting. These are informational updates, and we're trying to do that in a way that limits you all having to deal with us on a more formal basis. If the need arises for action to be taken that you want that board assembled, then we can conduct that in a special call meeting where the board members have the opportunity to physically be present here. These, I believe, we're contemplating almost more just informational updates on Mondays. Is that what you're thinking, Eric?
Yeah, I think this would just be sort of a briefing on what we're doing. What we can do is we'll see how many lines Whitney can call in, and what we may do is just include the number on there and say if the public's available to, the public has opportunity to attend electronically, here's the number. However, the number of lines are limited, so you may not be able to attend unless you call in early. And now please ask the board members and the media to call in a little early so that you get a line.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I mean, maybe we should look at an alternative method, though. Instead of using GoToMeeting, use either a webinar or Zoom, where you can have up to 200 people on the conversation.
Yeah.
Can you take a look at that in a minute?
If you did a webinar.
Whitney will explore all options in order to have the largest volume we can get.
Mr. Chairman, I advise that would be appropriate. That way we are meeting the call to make arrangements for public access to make it the best public access we can.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, just for purposes of the record today, pursuant to section 2.2-3708.2A3, just stating that the nature of the emergency is to discuss the spread of COVID-19 and the three subjects that were listed on the notice for the emergency meeting for today's date. The meeting was held by telephonic communication as electronic communications means. And the fact that it was held telephonically, just to state it for the minutes, stated in the record.
Record would so reflect that. Any other business, Mr. Young?
I will probably do a written press release. I think our major media are on the phone with us right now, but I will probably do a written release summarizing what we did today.
Okay. All right.
Good plan.
Anybody have any other business? Anything from the board members?
Nope.
Need a motion that we adjourn this special call of emergency meeting. Motion by Mr. Hines.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hackworth. Any discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Like sign? Motion carries. All right. Thank you all for calling in.
Thank you.
See you later.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate
thank you.